Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center. I am Pastor Marquise Franklin, and I am excited that you would take the time to listen to our latest sermons and what God is doing in this ministry. New Creation Christian Center is in Seattle, led by Pastor Harold and Annis Franklin. And our statement is, come as you are and be transformed by the word of God, as stated in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now, I don't know what you're going through, but I want you to be encouraged by the word of God that is going to be shared today. Check it out and share it with somebody that may need it. Now, let's get into this week's message.
Well, I'll announce that at the end. But picking up where we left off on this series of freedom, I'm going to go back and visit that after we've had the resurrection celebration, and Pastor Daryl also gave us word in between that time. So we want to talk about freedom, liberty, the will and the flesh, and continue to develop that concept. So let's pray, and we'll cover a few things, and then we'll continue on the next week. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your goodness. And we thank you for your loving kindness. It's because of these things that we can know you as we know you. And Lord, we know we have a long ways to go. We're never finished knowing you. There's always a new avenue that you reveal to us. But we thank you for the little that we have, that you've shown up of your nature and your goodness. As you so told Moses, you said, you can't look upon my face, but I can show you my back so that you can get a picture of my goodness. And Lord, we just want to catch as much of you as we can so that we could be more and more like you as you reveal yourself to us more and more each and every day. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen and amen. Now, today we're going to talk about a different area of freedom, but it's still freedom nonetheless. So let's go to Leviticus chapter 25. And we're going to go into that passage a little bit. So Leviticus 25. And in this chapter, God introduces a new concept of liberty. And called the period of Jubilee. And so let's read, we're going to read most of the chapter, but not the whole chapter. So it says, and the Lord spoke to Moses and said, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when you come into the land which I give you, then the land shall keep a Sabbath to the Lord. So the first thing, remember, the actual Sabbath day was a day of rest, which was, of course, the seventh day, which, you know, let's not get things mixed up. The Sabbath is not Sunday. Hasn't been changed to Sunday. It's still, what day is it? Saturday. Okay? And some of our Seventh-day Adventist friends want to condemn everybody else because they say, well, you guys don't go to church on the Sabbath. Well, it's not required in the New Covenant as it was in the Old, but it's still the seventh day. Amen? So in addition to the Sabbath day, which is a day of freedom from what you do from week, day to day, week to week, he introduces the Sabbath for the land. And so the land needs to be free from toiling and bringing forth every year. So he introduces the Sabbath of the land. Then he introduces the Sabbath or the freedom from debt. So then in verse 8, he says, and you shall count seven Sabbath years and for yourself seven times 7 years, and the time of the seven Sabbaths of years shall be to you 49 years. Then you shall cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the seventh month. On the Day of Atonement, you shall make the trumpet to sound throughout all your land. And you shall consecrate the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land to all its inhabitants. It shall be a jubilee for you, and each of you shall return to his possession, and each of you shall return to his family. The 50th year shall be a jubilee to you. In it you shall neither sow nor reap what grows of its own accord, nor gather the grapes of your untended vine. For it is the jubilee, it shall be holy to you. You shall eat its produce from the field. In the year of jubilee, each of you shall return to his possession. And if you sell anything to your neighbor or buy from your neighbor's hand, you shall not oppress one another. According to the number of the years after the jubilee, you shall buy, etc., etc. That's his where he puts out the price. And he just basically says, you return to the land. And then in the next thing is chapter 18. He said, you shall observe in my statutes and perform them in the land that every seventh year you shall. That's the Sabbath. And then the down further talks about every 7 years, any servant has to be set free. Now, I read these passages because all of them represent a time of freedom. You get freedom from debt in the 50-year jubilee. That means all debts are wiped out. You start afresh. Now, that's a long wait. But the idea behind the 50-year jubilee is that the next generation should not suffer from the generation prior. Okay? You guys got that? So in other words, if your father sold all your property, mortgaged it, and lost it, the jubilee was designed to give you a new start so that you got the property back and you can do with it what you wanted to do, unless, of course, it was determined that you sold it permanently. But most of the time, the land could not be sold permanently. So everybody was set free every 50 years. And then if you were a slave or a servant in those cases, in some cases they were what's called indentured servants. You guys know what an indentured servant means? That means the servant wasn't like a slave that they were bought, but it was somebody that worked for somebody because they owed them something. And usually that was the most common method of slavery. You get into debt, and therefore they would hire you to work off that debt. And so if you were an indentured servant, every 7 years, you were set free. Amen? So all these freedoms come into play. God had set this system into play. And hopefully the idea was, now that you're free, what does he want you to do? Once you're set free, he wants you to what? Well, that too, but he wants you to stay free. Stay free. Now that I've cleared your slate, keep it clear. Don't go back into the same activities to get yourself back into the same situation. And of course, the children of Israel, first of all, they didn't always practice this. They did not let the people free after 7 years. That's the first thing. Secondly, they didn't give property back after the 50 years. Thirdly, they didn't have their Sabbath year rest. And one of the judgments of Judah, when it was carried away by Babylon, is that Jeremiah said that 70 years the land is going to lay fallow because of all the Sabbath years you failed to carry out during the time of your existence. So one of the judgments that fell on the nation of Judah was to allow the land to stay unplanted for 70 years. Because they didn't do what they were supposed to do. Now again, let's go back to the purpose of the law. The Bible says the law is, there's a few purposes identified in the scripture. The law says, the Bible says the law is for the lawless. It also says the law also tells us what we're supposed to do, right? Paul says in Romans that I had not known sin had there not been a law. Okay? And the law is a final thing is the base at which you're supposed to live. It's not the highest, but it's the bottom you can go. Are you with me here? So with these three things in mind, we see that the children of Israel did not obey the laws of freedom that God had instituted. So as a result of not just these things, but of course there was an accumulation of many things. One of them, of course, was the idolatry that became so present. But all those were a form of slavery that they just couldn't seem to help themselves from getting back into. So they did not take advantage of the freedom that they were given. How many of us know, and some of us may be in this situation, if you had a credit card and you, for the first time, I'll just tell my story. I got a credit card for the first time and started using it. And then all of a sudden, what happens? Well, you can't make the payment. But, you know, they're not all that interested in that excuse. They just want it paid. You know, don't you love it when they say, well, can't you borrow it from somebody else? It's like, well, no, that's what got me in this predicament in the first place. So, you know, they hound you, they call you, and all that until they get their money. And the next time, you know, and hopefully if you go through that process, you learn next time, don't do that. First of all, there's a friend of mine, a guy that I was working with, I guess he was a friend of mine also. He said, if you can't pay that credit card off in 30 days, he said, don't use it. If the amount is too much for you to pay in 30 days, don't use it. Now, that's a pretty good discipline. Now, some of us may have enough income to where, okay, 30 days, that might be too much because depending on what you're charging with. In the old days, there was the American Express, I don't have one anymore, but used to make you pay the balance off at the end of 30 days. Or if it was a significant charge, they would give you 90 days. But usually you had to pay it off in a short period of time. But the goal is, if you had a credit card and you blew it the first time, if you get another credit card, hopefully you would have learned, right? And that's what experience is supposed to teach us. I had a bad experience. I did some bad things. I made some bad decisions. Therefore, if I get in this situation again, I'm not going to make the same mistakes as I did the first time. Amen? That's the teacher of experience, especially when they're bad. So when you have a bad relationship experience, a lot of times, that's what we're supposed to learn from that. But the things we usually learn from it is that I'm not going to trust anybody like that anymore. I'm not going to love anybody anymore. You know, that's the kind of thing we said. But that's not what we're supposed to learn, because you can't go through life not trusting and not loving people. Amen? But that's where a lot of people get stuck when it comes to relationships. Is they don't learn that, man, I shouldn't have done this in that relationship. I should have looked for the signs that were obvious to me and observed them. That's what we should learn, because let's face it, the people most of us that had a bad relationship experience with, they exhibited signs at the beginning that we just ignored. Am I right? Come on now. Let's just people that ended up being the devil on wheels after we got with them showed all those signs before we got with them. We just were enamored by them. Amen? So we missed the signs. And so when we get out of a situation like that, we're supposed to back up and say, okay, what did I do wrong in this relationship? What did I do that I shouldn't have done? A lot of it has to do with sin, of course, because sin is what attracts or hooks you into a relationship that you should not be hooked into anyway. Amen? That's why God tells us don't have sex before you're married, because those are hooks in relationships. And he said, and Paul says it like this, because you can't have sex and not be one with that person. Isn't that what he said? So if you're not sure about that person, don't become one with them. It's just simple. That's really what sex is all about, is uniting two people so that they can form one unit. But see, we think it's just an activity, something that we can just enjoy with whomever we come across. But that's not the design. So a lot of times we have to back up and learn, okay, don't put yourself in that position. Don't do those things. Don't allow yourself to fall prey to the clever sayings and the smooth words and the gifts and the presents and all the trappings. Don't fall prey to that stuff. But look at the character of the person. Amen? Of course, the first test is if they are not a believer, they're checked off the list anyway. You know, but we do what I told my friend years ago. I said, we do evangelistic dating. You guys know what that is? I'll get him saved. I know he's a good person, or she's a good person. I'll get him saved. And you know what? They'll show up to church for a while, especially before you get married. They'll be doing everything. Oh, yes, honey, I'll go where you want me to go. And after you get married, I ain't never going back to that church. No, you ain't paying no tithes. Are you crazy? And now you got a disagreement on the major things of your life. That's why he said don't be married to people that don't, unbelievers. Because in your house, you are going to have great disagreements about the very thing that are important to you. And that's just not, there's no peace in that. Amen? But going back to the Sabbath, so they didn't obey the Sabbaths, and therefore they continue to fall into bondage. 7 years later, they were back into slavery. 50 years later, they were praying for a new jubilee. And God, even though he set them free, they didn't take advantage of their freedom. And this is the part of freedom that deals with our will and his will. Amen?
We're just halfway through this sermon, but our prayer is that God is already speaking a dynamic word to you personally. But don't keep it to yourself. We need you to testify. We want to hear what God is doing. Give us a call or text us at 425-686-8197 to let us know what God is doing. If you're on Facebook, contact us at facebook.com/newcreationcc or on Twitter at newcreationwa. Now, let's tune in for the second half of this sermon.
And so, in contrast to Leviticus 25, let's go to Luke chapter 4. Chapter 4, verse about. And this is after Jesus is tempted, after Jesus goes through he's back in the synagogue. He's in Nazareth at this point. And we're going to start in verse 16. It says, so he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Now, if you go back and look at this passage in the Old Testament, somebody close some of these vents, because I know it's getting hot in here. It was cold last week, it's hot this week. This is a description of the Jubilee, okay, that we just read about in Leviticus. And Jesus is proclaiming this on a now spiritual level. Okay? He says, he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty or freedom to the captives, and the recovery of sight to the blind. And he says in verse 20, he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down, and the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, today the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. And they got mad about it and started asking the question, you know, isn't this the guy we've grew up with? But they missed his proclamation of liberty because they couldn't get past who they thought he was. Jesus offers freedom for everybody, but it's based on, will you accept it? He's made us free from sin, death, and every form of evil, but he leaves it up to you to decide, do you want that? Now, everybody wants freedom, but no, not everybody wants to pay the price of freedom. You know, you guys heard the saying, I think there's a song, and I've seen it on commercials, and usually it's about veterans. It says, and I think the way, I don't know the rest of the words, but I remember these, because freedom isn't free. Have you ever heard that line in that song? And I don't know who sings it. I think it's one of the country western guys who sing it, popular guys, but I don't know who it is. And that's true. Freedom is not free. There's a price you have to pay for freedom. And the greatest price for freedom is obedience. You have to obey God to be free and to stay free. And it seems so simple, though, right? I just have to obey, but let's go back to where we started with Adam and Eve. Just one command. I've been talking to God. Wait, God, let me make sure I understand this right. So all we have to do is stay away from this tree. That's all we have to do, and everything else we could have. I'm going to make sure I got this right. It's just this one thing I got to stay away from. He said, yep. Man, this is too easy. Matter of fact, I would have got the axe and cut the tree down because I don't want it. But it was so easy, but yet it was difficult because the temptation was coming to test you to see how much obedience you had. And that's what happened with Adam and Eve. I don't know how long Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden. Doesn't really give us a time frame, but it doesn't matter. They're not there anymore because of their disobedience. And freedom is offered to everyone on the basis of your obedience. Amen? This was true with the children of Israel. We all know the 28th chapter of Deuteronomy, right? Fred Hammond made a song out of it. Blessed, blessed, we're blessed in the city. We're blessed in the field. We're blessed when we come and when we go. We cast down all that good stuff. But he said, but if you got to be what? You got to obey. It says in Deuteronomy 28, the first part of that says, now it shall come to pass if you diligently obey. That's the first thing he tells them. Diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, that you, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Notice he says obey twice. And then he gets into the song, we're blessed in the city. Then he gets into that part. But don't just start singing the blessed part. Remember that you have to obey. And the obey, they didn't do. There were things, you would be the head and not the tail. You'd be above and not beneath. You know, folks would be quoting, yeah, I'm the head and not the tail. Only if you obey. If you don't obey, you're going to be the tail. That's what he said. You keep reading. He says, you'll be the tail. Nobody's going to do any good. Nobody's going to do any good for you. And at the end, he starts talking, it's going to be so bad, you're going to be eating your children when you get hungry. Now, that's bad. And I know Unique is a vegetarian, and I don't think she'd ever stoop to eating children, because that none of us are supposed to do that. But it did get that bad. In the book of Jeremiah, two women come to the king. I think it's Jeremiah, isn't it? And it says, King, help me. He says, what? No, actually, I think this is 2 Kings. He says, what do you want me to do? He says, well, yesterday, me and this lady said we were going to eat her son. And so we boiled him. We ate him. And now she's hiding her son and won't let us eat her son. So I need you to tell her to let us eat her son. And the king, even, I think it was a wicked king, he tore his clothes on that one. You know, torn their clothes mean that's great mourning. He says, oh my gosh, have we gotten to this point? Things got so bad, they were doing the unthinkable. And that's what disobedience leads to. It doesn't start there, but it could end who knows where. But it starts with freedom. He proclaimed freedom if you just obey. Jesus said, we all know this passage of scripture from Jesus. He says, come to me, all ye that are labor and heavy laden. Right? You guys know that passage, right? And I will do what? Give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And I always ask myself, well, what's the yoke of Jesus? Well, let's get the picture. What is a yoke? It's a harness. And in order to be in his harness, you got to do what? Do what he tells you to do. In a harness, he pulls you, you stop. He does whatever they do, he makes you go. So his yoke is obedience. And he says, and you'll find rest in my obedience. That's freedom. But he says, and he says, but my yoke is easy. Sometimes we say, man, it's not easy to be obedient to the Lord. No, it's easy. The flesh is not easy for the flesh. But it's real easy to obey. Are you with me? In other words, it's easy to do what God says. We're worried about the consequences. But it's easy to obey. I mean, come on. It's not hard to obey. It's the problem with obedience is, and this is always the question we ask, what are people going to think about me? I mean, think about it. If we all said, let's go outside and share the gospel. Now, most of you guys are seasoned enough to where that's not going to bother you. But on the inside, a little bit will say, I hope I don't offend anybody. I hope nobody offends me. I hope they don't call me a Jesus freak. You know, I mean, that's the wrestling we do with being obedient to God. It's, what are my friends going to think if I do it? What if I, you know, am I going to stick out? You know, those are not, that's not obedience. That's the consequences of it. So just to be obedient is, okay, Lord, I'm going to do it. But sometimes we don't know what that means in the long run. But you just have to be obedient. And that's why he always says, don't be afraid to be obedient. Now we have to be taught to be obedient. Amen? We don't learn obedience naturally. You have to be taught to be obedient. Because naturally we are disobedient. Because our flesh doesn't like to be exposed. So in other words, if you told the flesh to go out and witness about Jesus, the flesh would say no, because I don't want to be embarrassed. That's the flesh's response, right? And some of us said that, you know. Or, Pastor, I'm too shy. That's a flesh response, because shyness is nothing more than fear disguised, right? Why are we shy? We're self-conscious. Self-conscious about, do I look? They're going to laugh at my tie straight, you know. Well, nobody see my tie. That's what shyness is. You're afraid you'll say something that you don't think was right. So instead of saying something, you just won't talk. That's shyness. And it's just a form of fear. Now, obviously, you shouldn't talk if you don't have anything to say, but when you're supposed to talk, you're supposed to talk. You have to talk. Amen? So we see this in how God has set his people free. He's always set us on a course of liberty and freedom, but it all comes back to obedience and our will being subjected to his will. We can't do anything in the kingdom of God without submitting our will to him. That's why the yoke is so important. We have to get under his yoke to allow him to steer us. Or if you want to make it in a more common language, to lead us. He can't lead who he doesn't have under his control, if you will. Amen? That's why the Holy Spirit is here, to get us under the control of the Spirit of God, so that we don't make mistakes like we do in the flesh. Because the flesh always responds in a negative way to God. Always. It never wants to do what God says. Now, what happens is, as you learn God, initially we all, even new Christians, will say no, right? No, I don't know enough. I don't this, I don't that, I'm not saved, I haven't been saved that long, Lord. Don't send me, don't let me, you know. But as you learn to submit, then you say, Lord, I'm not sure if I can do it, but if this is what you want me to do, I'll go. That's the first step of showing that you're beginning to have your heart change. I don't think I'm qualified, Lord, but I'll go. And that should be always our response, because none of us are qualified. I wasn't qualified to be a pastor. You might say, what? No, I'm not qualified, because it takes God to pastor people, not people. So I had to submit to the fact that I'm not qualified, but if you want me to do this, I want to be obedient. Amen? And so I have to do what I have to do because I'm obedient. I'm under the yoke and he's driving. And if he tells me to drive into this church and pastor it, I can't say, get this thing off me. I don't want that. I don't want to go over there. And I did that. No, I don't let me. I don't want to turn in there. Don't let me go. Let me go. You know, you ever had your kids do stuff like that? You see the kids in the store having tantrums like that? They want to run to the toy store section. Come on, Junior. No, I don't want to go. They fall on the floor. That's how we are. When God tells us to do stuff. No, I don't want to. Until finally we say, okay. Because your life is going to be miserable if you don't do it. If you're going to stay with him. Amen? You can't say no to God and say you love him. You just can't do it. Sooner or later, he's going to break you down. And it's for your good. But we don't see it that way. All we see is like, man, he wants to embarrass me. He wants to put me out there. He knows I can't do this. Exactly. It's bigger than you. Now you need God. Amen? So whenever you get into a place where it's bigger than you, you're in the right place. Because whenever you think you're qualified to do something, that's all flesh. I can do it. I can manage it. I can handle it. I can handle the people. I can do this stuff. But where's the I can do all things through Christ? This is the will part of freedom. You have to surrender. You have to bend. You have to bow. You have to submit to do the will of God and to be free in his kingdom. Amen? All right, I'm going to stop here today. But we have to understand that freedom isn't free. It does cost us something. And that's the price not every believer wants to pay. Not everybody wants to pay that for price. But even the church sometimes doesn't even want to pay that price. We have a Holy Spirit that is sent to make us free. And there's many in the church that reject him because they don't understand him. Well, welcome to the body of Christ. If you can understand God, you would be God. You know? So we have to learn that we have to follow God, trust God, and obey God. And he'll work out all the other parts of it. Amen? All right, let's stand.
We thank you for listening to today's sermon. And we pray that you are impacted to become the new creation that God desires. We at New Creation Christian Center invite you to come join us for service Saturday at 7 p.m. or Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington. Also, feel free to visit us online at newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.